All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 567 for Thursday, June the 20th, 1976. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and wondering how much longer the game's going to be worth playing, truthfully. probably going to be a light show tonight, light on stories. Just been absolutely beat up this week on time. And we have an Are You. What's up, Are You?
Well, I got up to grab a drink just as you started the intro, and I was doing the intro in my head, and I sat back down, put the headset back on, the intro in my head queued up at the exact same time the intro with the music.
Oh my god,
we've been doing this shit way too long.
We've been doing this stuff way too long.
Exactly.
Madman stuck in here. What's up, Madman?
Nothing much. Drinking some booze, zoning out on the couch, and I'm like, oh, guess I could zone out somewhere else. So I hopped on the interwebs.
Well, that's one way to zone out somewhere else. I was thinking for a minute you might have grabbed one of them VR headsets so you can, you know, I don't know, sit on the couch and be sitting on the Everest or watching.
Oh, yeah.
Watching one of those space videos. Well, I don't know. The joke I always saw was, you know, the guy bought the VR headset specifically so he could be sitting in space while he poops. So I don't know how to translate that into a funny one, though. So it's just kind of gross, actually.
I'll rip over Rick and Morty. He's just a shy pooper.
Oh, is that what it is? You got to have the VR headset so he can't see everyone around him taking pictures.
I'm a vindictive pooper. I like dropping a douche when I know there are people in the employee bathroom with me and just like smell the reek.
Well, Madman, that's where you do the absolute asshole move. Say, like, hey, you guys smell popcorn?
Those are the silent but deadlies in the cubicle farm. Anybody smell popcorn?
Just do it as you're getting up and walking by, crop dusting, you know. Anyways.
Gross.
I don't know. I got nothing. We're making fart jokes. We're kind of... it's been a year. Anyways,
only halfway there yet,
Yeah, we're basically right at the halfway mark, aren't we? But anyways, so I guess we'll get into it. I think this is the one Sard sent me, but this story's everywhere. The one Sard sent me is from CyberScoop. Biden administration bans the sale of Kaspersky software in the United States. The move against the Russian cybersecurity giant aims to prevent the company from being used in cyber operations or data collection by Moscow. And it is true. Kaspersky is headquartered in Moscow. Now, they've got a U.S. division, and I doubt that their software has hardcore backdoors in it like that, but when your headquarters is in Moscow, if, you know, the KGB shows up with the guns saying you will put out a new update and you will include this code, even if they don't want to be bad guys, guess what? You get to be bad guys. So I can't really blame them when we're likely going to be going to World War III with them shortly.
American government, Chinese government, Russian government, all same fucking government. They all have backdoors and shit, dude. It's not just China or Russia.
Oh, I know.
The CIA got backdoors and everything.
And they damn well better. What do we think you pay them for?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, oh my god. You know, I'm not saying you're doing this, but this is like what I got the vibe this morning. Yeah, we got to get those Russians out of our networks. I'm like, Yeah, about the Chinese, Israelis, you know, everybody else who's fucking in there.
Well, I look at it like this. I cannot blame them for banning Kaspersky, because even if Kaspersky is ran by saints, when you're headquartered in Moscow, if their government shows up and says you will do this, you know.
Well, dude, look what the FBI did with Twitter.
Oh yeah,
walked in, set up their own fucking cubicle.
Did it in Facebook too.
Yeah, I mean they're all doing it.
The Commerce Department will ban the cybersecurity firm Kaspersky Labs from selling its software to the U.S. customers, the latest move by the Biden administration to curtail the Russian company's operations in the United States. In an announcement Thursday, the Commerce Department said it would use, for the first time, newly expanded authorities to regulate technology transactions with U.S. adversaries to effectively ban Kaspersky from doing business in the United States. The move under the agency's Information and Communications Technology Supply Chain Regulations prohibits Kaspersky from selling its antivirus software to U.S. consumers or even updating the product. So you can't even get updates if you had it installed. And the thing that sucks about it is, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I would have put Kaspersky up there as one of the better antiviruses to be running. A lot of people did. It was one of the more well-recommended antiviruses, you know, back, yeah, I think about 5 years ago is probably right. Because it was up there as not being too stupid like Symantec and McAfee do, where they chew up half your damn system. And, you know, fairly decent. But I haven't looked at them lately, and with the whole, like I said, the whole, you know, Russian government thing. So they can't even update it. That's... Wow. In a call with reporters ahead of Thursday's announcement, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said the move to ban Kaspersky was prompted by an extensive review of the company, its ties to the Russian government, and the possibility that the Kremlin could lean on the firm to supply data on U.S. customers or be used in cyber operations. Quote, Russia has shown time and again that they have the capability and intent to exploit Russian companies like Kaspersky Lab to collect and weaponize sensitive U.S. information, and we will continue to use every tool at our disposal to safeguard U.S. national security and the American people, unquote, Raimondo said in a statement. They also said the U.S. government will launch an awareness campaign to educate U.S. consumers of Kaspersky software about the threat it poses and why... But that they would not be subject to criminal or civil penalties for using the tool. Quote, I would encourage you in the strongest possible terms to stop using that software, unquote, Raimondo told reporters. In addition to bans on the sale and updating of Kaspersky software, the Commerce Department will also add 3 Kaspersky entities to the department's entity list, which sharply limits the ability of U.S. companies to carry out transactions with the corporate entities in question. A senior Commerce Department official speaking on the condition of anonymity said that the U.S. government's review of Kaspersky's presence in the United States has revealed that critical infrastructure operators and local governments are among the company's American clients, prompting alarm that the software could be used in attacks against them. The notion that Kaspersky products would be used in the operations against the U.S. government has been cited as a theoretical threat for years, and in 2017, Washington banned federal agencies from using its products. On Thursday, the Commerce Department official would not cite any specific examples of how Moscow might use the company as part of its intelligence or cyber operations, but said, quote, we believe that it is more than just a theoretical threat, unquote. Banning the sale and even the updating of Kaspersky's products creates a headache for its existing U.S. customers. The ban on product updates, which will go into effect on September the 29th, will mean that Kaspersky customers in the United States will find the company's antivirus tool to be less effective as time goes by, a consideration that Commerce Department officials said will inform the U.S. government's messaging campaign. So, and of course, anybody who's ever worked in a big corporate network, getting them to change out their antivirus, getting it done by September, good luck.
Time to take bids for new vendors. What all is compatible with our current software and setup?
Oh yeah, no, I've definitely dealt with the whole incompatible software agents on the same machine. That's always fun, especially when it shows up in weird ways. Like the one I know of for a fact is that CrowdStrike and Bitdefender do not like each other and do not work well together. And when they are both installed on a system, Microsoft Office crashes a lot. And I never quite figured out the exact behavior. I think both tools were fighting to inject DLLs into the processes to you know, monitor for bad things, or at least that's what they're supposed to be doing. And I think they were, like, injecting each other and just crashing the software. So, but yeah, it seemed to be Office and Visual Studio that was getting messed up the most by that particular incompatibility, so... Yeah, it's a right pain in the butt.
What's super bizarre? Why the hell would Office need to talk to anything outside of your network to be monitored?
These tools work at a deeper level than that. It's not just network connections. Like, they actually hook and try to monitor what's going on in memory. So I think they were competing to hook the same processes. And something about the way Office does it, because... God knows Microsoft uses unpublished APIs and documentation and interfaces and windows that they do not advertise or document for other companies to use. So,
I do wonder, these newly found powers, were they just something that we decided to do, or did Congress actually invest some new powers to the executive?
I think it was a new power. Newly expanded authorities to regulate technology transactions in the U.S. That came from changes to definitions in the ICTS rule. Yeah, that's a lot of legalese. I can send you this article here, Madman, and I can let you parse it.
With changes to definitions... That generally means the executive branch decided to give itself more power. The only problem I have with it is the executive branch isn't allowed to give itself more power. The legislative branch is supposed to give the executive branch power. So
do you think Kaspersky will sue the U.S. government and saying you didn't have the authority to do that?
They may. I don't know how fruitful it will be, because I guess who gets to decide whether they're right or wrong.
Yeah.
Now, if the extreme crazy right wing of the Supreme Court has their way, then Kaspersky could have a better chance if they strike down stare decisis, which is a... doctrine of the Supreme Court that the regulators are always right when interpreting their own rules.
So
if that goes away, then Kaspersky could have a good chance in the courts.
So I don't disagree with you, but I do have to ask, why did you have to punch yourself in the balls to say crazy right wing?
Oh, because, you know, I just want to make sure everyone knows I'm not part of those. It's the crazy right wing insane people that, you know, want to say the government isn't automatically right when it says you're wrong. They have to actually prove it in a court of law. I don't know why that's crazy, but it is, according to several people that like stare decisis.
Yeah, that would be people who are currently happy with the present government and will suddenly understand what a terrible rule that is when people they don't like are in charge. Because that tends to be the way a lot of these people think. My people are in charge, therefore it's okay. Oh, the other people are in charge doing the exact same thing. Fascist tyrant.
And banning this may be a good thing, but I just want it banned correctly. As you know from many years of playing D&D and everything else, I am a rules lawyer.
Speaking of, have you looked at the new D&D that's coming out?
No, I haven't. I know it was delayed, and that kind of saddened me, because it was supposed to come out on the 75th anniversary, and it's going to come out a year late for that. Or was it 50th anniversary?
One or the other. It'd be 50th, I think. No, wait. 70s. Yeah, it'd be 50th.
Though there is something they're updating in the lore that pisses me off to no end. Like, the current writers have not read anything about D&D. But, you know, that's just the way of the world these days.
The one I saw was that they were effectively, they weren't getting rid of races, but they were changing the rule mechanics so that all of your stat changes came from backgrounds instead of your race. So I thought that was interesting. It was like they were trying to find a middle ground rather than just, you know, eliminating the races from the game. It's like somebody realized, hey guys, that's a bad idea. That's what gives it flavor. And racism in D&D is hilarious. So
if we beat this one, what's next?
Now, you think that one's about glue at this point?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. I'm don't have a lot of stories, Madman, so I'm dragging on purpose and trying to
do. Oh.
Yeah, I didn't have anything for that one.
So, next one up is from Business Insider. Auto insurers may be spying on your driving through your phone apps. That could lead to higher rates. Yeah, they are doing it.
It's not they might be, is they fucking are. And your car is spying on you as well.
Oh, everything is at this point. Auto insurers have spent years appealing to customers to allow them to track their driving. Though many surveillance-wary customers have declined, insurers have found a loophole. Monitor people's driving through quiet deals with other apps. Auto insurance companies can then use that data to determine how risky a driver is and how much they should pay for insurance. Car insurance rates this year have soared to 50-year highs, surpassing inflation and leading to higher premiums and deductibles, Business Insider previously reported. In a world where everything from a driver's age to local climate events can be used to assess insurance rates, it might sound nice to have one's risk associated with something you can actually control. But most families don't realize that some phone apps they use in the background, such as Life 360, MyRadar, or GasBuddy, are handing their driving data over to insurers, the New York Times reported. These apps are relying on driving analysis technology operated by ARITY, an Allstate company that collects data to determine a driving score that can then be sold to insurers to, quote, help create future transportation solutions that are smarter and safer, unquote, as opposed to
what
just
a load of fucking horseshit.
Yeah, that, as opposed to the reality of charge you more for insurance.
Uh-huh. Because you got to recoup all the fucking EV bullshit that they fucked up with insuring.
Or worse, use that data to deny claims without telling you why.
That's another one.
Because I guarantee if they have data saying, well, you were speeding at the time, how are you saying that? Well, we have our sources. No. This doesn't work like that. How are you saying I was speeding at the time? Well, our data shows. What data? And then you figure out they were monitoring your fucking phone without permission. So. Uh-huh.
As someone that has filed claims, the denying without a reason isn't a thing that exists. They give a reason or it's a violation of contract.
Well, the reason is usually I've seen a couple where the reasons were just bullshit, but you know, due to seeing many shops in our time, we think that the skid pattern shows that you were driving like an asshole or something like
that. And on arguing who's at fault, if you're doing a claim against someone else and their insurance company's denying it, let your insurance company's lawyers take care of it, and you generally get a nice check within a day or two.
So that's actually true. That happened to me. I got hit a couple of years ago now, and of course, I had to call the people's insurance. It was their fault. I wasn't moving at the time when I got hit. There wasn't much of a question of fault. So I had their insurance, so I had to call their insurance, and they weren't, you know, I called their insurance and the response I got was, well, you know, and so I called my insurance. I got a phone call back from their insurance in about 3 hours and saying, we're mailing you a settlement check.
Yeah.
And that was because it's, oh, you're serious. Fuck.
Yeah. The denial, I don't see that as ever going to be a thing. The we're raising rates on you and then telling everyone else to do so.
Yeah.
That's a thing. And what's going to annoy me is they're not going to be raising your rate due to you've done something that causes them to pay out. Because they'll already know that. If you're filing claims, everyone's already going to know you're high risk. Causing accidents? No. They're going to be raising your rate because they think speeding is going to be like you're a reckless driver because you're speeding. No, I know where to speed. I do not speed in town. I do not speed in areas where there are lots of curves. But I do know the roads I travel. And I do know the limited access highways I travel. And that they are designed to go more than 75 miles an hour. I do generally keep okay tires on my car.
But as somebody who has ridden with you and said, Madman, you missed the turn, and you said, no, I didn't.
Yes, but that was a straightaway we were speeding on at the time. Now that I decided to take a 90-degree turn off of that straightaway, could have been my bad if we flipped the car, but we didn't.
But here, that actually is another question. How do they know you're the one driving?
If they're linking it to the phone, because it's your phone.
But no, if they're collecting it from background apps on your phone.
Is your car modern?
Oh, my car is.
Are we talking about a modern car?
We're talking about any car.
Well, we're talking about Life 360, but with the way that works is it knows your phone. And it's telling you Bob's phone is here whenever you pull it up. So if they're getting the information from Life 360, it's because they've tagged you specifically.
Yeah.
That, and generally the car is monitoring you as the driver, and it'll be on the onboard computer.
Yeah, but the cars here, even the newest one, if I go out and buy a 2024 model, it doesn't know whether I'm driving or my sister's driving or my grandmother's driving. You don't have to log into the car to turn it on. So anyone could be driving.
I'll let you have your belief, Madman.
It's not a belief. They literally, unless you type in a password, which our cars don't have, it doesn't know who's logged in. Now, as far as Life 360, tag it on your phone. You say, this phone belongs to Bob or whoever. They know who you are. Now, if you lie on it, I don't know how they do billing, so I don't know if it's possible to lie on Life 360. But I do know most parents don't. They use it to monitor their kids.
Well, let me go finish the quote from the article here. So after the bullshit line from Smarter and Safer, according to Allstate's website, which says Arity has collected, quote, more than a trillion miles of driving data, unquote. The opt-in consent on the apps is vague about what information is shared, the Times reported, so many customers had no idea they were sharing driving data with insurers. Quote, people today are generating massive amounts of data, and we believe this data has significant potential value for businesses across transportation. Consumers stand to gain big too, unquote, Arity's website says, adding that customers can have, quote, greater control to receive rates based on how safely they drive, unquote. Yet they're not looking for people who are driving safely so they can cut their rates. They want the rates going in one direction and one direction only. Because why would they give you a discount if they don't have to?
And on those trillions of miles, I wonder how many of those are repeat. Because I don't have a gas saving app on my phone because I don't trust them. But someone that has Life 360 and the gas saving app, their information is being sold twice to whatever insurance.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, I assume that it's time stamped, so it probably wouldn't be that hard to weed out the duplicates. In a comment to Business Insider, Arity said that it, quote, partners with mobile app publishers to provide value features like crash detection and fuel efficiency to users who opt into those services, unquote. Quote, for the use of personalized auto insurance pricing, consumers must clearly and explicitly all opt in to have Arity create and send a summary of their driving data to the Arity IQ network, and consumers can request a copy of this driving report once they opt in to share their driving data from a personalized insurance quote, unquote, the company continued. So you can't see what data they have on you unless you opt into your data being collected. Fuck you. That's almost as bad as Adobe not letting you cancel your subscription until you agree to the new terms that give them the permission to look at your stuff. In a statement to BI, Life360 spokesperson said the Times article, quote, was, quote, inaccurate and misleading, unquote. Quote, Life360 does not share personally identifiable driving data with insurance companies to influence our members' insurance premiums unless a member explicitly requests that we do so. We require specific opt-in consent before sharing a member's personal driving data for personalized insurance quotes, unquote. The spokesperson said, quote, there may be companies that share data with insurance companies without driver's full knowledge or affirmative consent, but Life360 isn't one of those, unquote. Hey, 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 don't say bad things about us. Don't say bad things about us. But earlier in the article, they specifically said that the opt-in was vague, that people didn't know what they were sharing. It's better that it's opt-in instead of opt-out, but you don't know how aggressive these apps are with their opt-ins because, I don't know about you guys, but I've had stuff that, pretty fucking aggressive with the opt-in stuff where, yeah, it's not automatically doing it for you, but it's trying to pop that thing up every few minutes and, you know, get you to click on okay just to make it stop bothering you about it. You know, a la Windows 11.
The OK is very big. The bypass button is not always visible.
Yeah, you have to know.
I mean, as in, it's a little white X in a white background, almost in some instances.
You have to know the magic pixel to click on to make it go away.
Yeah, that pisses me off on my phone. Some of the quote unquote free games it came with.
Yeah. What's really obnoxious is where you have the big OK continue button, and then there's not even the other one's not even a button. It's just after you realize, oh, you can click on this text here that takes you past it without agreeing. It's just dark patterns, man. Dark patterns suck. More and more, I think RU's right just to not bother with it.
Opt out, man.
The only problem is, eventually it's going to be, where's your digital passport, sir? I don't have a phone.
Hey, yeah, Control, we got a terrorist.
Yep. And I'm waiting for it, man. It's going to happen.
Did that voice effect work when I put my hand over the mic and shoved it up like that?
That was a good one.
Okay.
yeah, I've already had the conversation with a few people about, you realize your car isn't pinging. Yeah, I know. It doesn't have electronics in it.
Or what's I find hilarious now, the vending machine's asking people for their credit cards or their smartphones.
Yeah.
Why does my phone need to know how much money I have? Because my phone doesn't need to know that info.
They want you to use the Apple Pay or the Google Pay, and Apple's real aggressive on the phones trying to get you to set up and use the Apple Pay, and it's like, no, I don't want the NFC tap on the back of my phone to be a payment. I already keep my cards in an RFID blocking wallet for a reason. And I checked it with the freaking Flipper Zero. It works. Although I did not check it with a Geiger counter. I should probably do that too.
Just because you own it doesn't mean you need to keep finding excuses to use it.
Oh, no. Use it as much as you can. It's hilarious.
Dude, I was thinking, start walking around your neighborhood with it.
I was actually thinking it would be a lot of fun to 3D print like a Pip-Boy prop and have an actual Geiger counter in it, which is why I ordered this one, because it's got the data uplink thing, so you can actually run it off like a Raspi or something. So you could strip the thing out of its case, strip it down, and then like build a Raspi into like a Pip-Boy, so you could walk around and have an actual Geiger counter in your Pip-Boy, which I thought would be awesome.
You go to an anime convention and check out who's been having chemo.
There you go. It's like, wow, this thing is just constantly going off.
Excuse me. Did you have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma by chance? Because the Geiger counter's ringing off of you.
So either you've had you know, radiation treatment lately, or we all need to evacuate this building. It's like, are you sure you're not reading it wrong? No, nope, that's Rads, not Millie Rads. We need to run, actually.
Now I kind of want to do a test to see if a physicist was lying to me.
What?
And that test is, I've been informed by a couple of nuclear physicists that you get more radiation from banging two hot chicks at the same time than standing near most modern nuclear reactors. And I just want to go to a modern nuclear reactor and then to a shoot for any porno and just like double test this with a Geiger counter. I need two hot chicks to stand here while I zap them with this. We're doing an experiment to see if I've been lied to.
No, I think that's probably accurate, but I mean, people swim in the fucking water tanks right below the reactors, as long as they don't go down to the really hot part.
I'm not doing that. I'm afraid of the cancers.
I mean, the two hot chicks, sure, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm not that afraid of cancer, but, you know. Any pool that is also used to store nuclear waste.
Anything that's got the blue glow probably wants to.
Fucking live a little, madman. Live a little.
I live enough by going to public water parks. That's as much living when it comes to waste I'm going to do.
You're afraid to swim with nuclear in a nuclear reactor, but you're willing to go to a public water park.
So, madman, I'm just gonna ask, how much irradiated stuff do you think you've been exposed to throughout the day?
Oh, irradiated. Oh God, I don't know if it can be counted.
I was gonna say, what do you think modern pasteurization is?
My cell phone, my TV, the monitors I'm standing next to are irradiated. Every human person I've walked past, something people don't realize, if something's alive, it's also radioactive.
The sun.
Yeah, I can't count the number of radioactive things. I also don't think I can count the number of radioactive things that are radioactive enough to get past my body's defenses against radiation, which we all do have.
Man, you think you're tempting cancer? I smoke out in sunshine.
Australian sunshine. That's right below the ozone hole, isn't
it? Uh-huh. Apparently.
Is that still a thing? Or I mean, because I remember at one point the ozone hole disappeared and people lost their minds.
I don't know, dude. None of this environmental shit fucking sits with me anymore.
All right, let's talk about McDonald's AI.
Or what was McDonald's AI?
Yeah. So are you
like bacon ice cream?
There's finally some intelligence at McDonald's. It's just as real as their cheese.
I just realized I'm not signed into the IRC. I've had the window open, but it's not signed in. So I must have clicked it and just not thought about it and probably went to go get bourbon. So yeah, I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be posting these links somewhere besides just the TeamSpeak. What am I doing? And it doesn't want to connect. So we'll just let that sit there and spin until it eventually airs out or connects or whatever it's going to do. While we do this story from the BBC that RU sent me. Bacon, ice cream, and nugget overload sees misfiring McDonald's AI withdrawn. McDonald's is removing artificial intelligence-powered ordering technology from its drive-thru restaurants in the U.S. after customers shared its comical mishaps online. A trial of the system, which was developed by IBM and uses voice recognition software to process orders, was announced in 2019. It has not proved entirely reliable, however, resulting in viral videos of bizarre misinterpreted orders ranging from bacon-topped ice cream to hundreds of dollars worth of chicken nuggets. Yeah, you go up, you order a combo, you come around to the side and they've got one of those grocery store shopping baskets full of nuggets loading it up for you. It's like, that's not what I ordered.
I didn't order 10 20 piece nuggets. I ordered a number 10 in a McFlurry. What the hell?
McDonald's told franchisees it would remove the tech from the more than 100 restaurants it has been testing in by the end of July. As first reported by trade publication Restaurant Business, quote, after thoughtful review, after a thoughtful review, McDonald's has decided to end our current global partnership with IBM on AOT, automated order taking, beyond this year, unquote, the restaurant chain said in a statement. However, it added it remained confident the tech would still be, quote, part of its restaurant's future, unquote. Yeah, they can't badmouth it too much. They don't want to piss off IBM. quote, we will continue to evaluate long-term scalable solutions that will help us make an informed decision on future voice ordering solutions by the end of the year, unquote, the statement said. Leaving out the part about how they're trying to replace a human on the other end of the little intercom to take the order with the AI because they're tired of paying people.
And I wonder how much McDonald's business model has changed that phrase, they're pulling it out of franchisee stores. Usually the experiments aren't with the franchisees, it's with the corporation. So that tells me there's fewer and fewer actual corporate-owned McDonald's.
Well, that's hardly surprising. They make more money off the rent of those things than they do.
Yeah. Well, that's how they did Red Lobster in. Corporate. One of the big corporates bought Red Lobster chains just for the land, and they just jacked up the rent on all the Red Lobster's land price.
And when it comes to a franchisee, the franchisee owns the land. What they're paying for is the name.
That is not how McDonald's does it, sir. McDonald's owns the land.
That's what I was.
Two franchises I've dealt with, Walmart actually owned the land. The franchisee paid for the McDonald's name and also paid rent to Walmart to stick it in there. Several of those.
That might have been that deal with
Walmart. McDonald's doesn't own the land at all.
Most of their restaurants, though, McDonald's owns that land. If you look into McDonald's franchising, it's very interesting because they make more money off the rent of the restaurants than they do off the selling of the food.
I know they make more money off of the renting of their name, but any franchisee that goes into you don't own what you've already paid for, that is so stupid. Because just about every franchise I know of, you're literally paying to use the name, the menu items that the corporate is usually selling to you, but you own the building and the customers.
Pretty sure that's not the case with McDonald's.
I mean, it might be. They could have a very bizarre franchise model, but I don't know why anyone would open up a McDonald's franchise at that point.
But they're pretty strict on how they do it because they want to make sure you're not going to be competing with other McDonald's restaurants and all that other stuff.
Oh, that's with every franchise. You're only allowed so many within a certain area. But you still own the land. You just might not be able to franchise it as a McDonald's if they say there's too many for that population size. Then you just go franchise with someone else or just have your own restaurant. Not that hard to clone a McDonald's menu. You just couldn't call it McDonald's. We're going to call it Madman's Burger Shithole. But I wouldn't, try to clone a McDonald's restaurant if I was opening a restaurant. I'd make something better.
I don't know that naming your restaurant Shithole would be the most advertisable name.
Oh, no, that's if it was a McDonald's clone.
So, yeah. Under conventional franchise, under this model, McDonald's either owns the land or leases it for the long term. Under the agreement, the franchisee pays for other items, such as seating, equipment, and decor, development license, or affiliate. Under this type of franchise agreement, the franchisee also provides capital for real estate. Typically, under a franchise agreement, McDonald's does not invest capital and earns a royalty on the initial fee. So they do both. So that's what it is. They actually do both. We're both right, Madman.
So you can rent out a McDonald's and say, hi, I'm running this for you. I'm keeping a cut of what I'm making for you. Or paying it, yeah. I wouldn't rent out a McDonald's to run it for the corporation. Although I guess that might be the franchises they're using for experimentation, because they roll on those.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I've never been interested enough in actually building a franchise to do that, because I spent my time in fast food and I was done with it. So back to the article. The technology has been controversial from the outset, although initial concerns centered on its potential to make people's jobs obsolete. However, it became apparent that replacing human restaurant workers may not be as straightforward as people initially feared, as the system's backers hoped. The AI order takers' mishaps have been documented online. In one video, which has 30,000 views on TikTok, a young woman becomes increasingly exasperated as she attempts to convince the AI that she wants a caramel ice cream, only for it to add multiple stacks of butter to her order. In another, which has 360,000 views, a person claimed that her order got confused with one being made by somebody else, resulting in 9 orders of tea being added to her bill. Another popular video includes 2 people laughing while hundreds of dollars worth of chicken nuggets are added to their order, and while the New York Post reported on another person had bacon added to their ice cream in error. I don't know. I've heard bacon ice cream is actually pretty good. The ending of this trial does not mean an end to concerns about AI reshaping the workplace. IBM said it would continue to work with McDonald's in the future. Quote, this technology has proven to have some of the most comprehensive capabilities in the industry, fast and accurate in some of the most demanding conditions, unquote, it said in a statement. Quote, while McDonald's is reevaluating and refining its plans for AOT, we look forward to continuing to work with them on a variety of other projects, unquote. So, yeah, they're giving up on it for now, but bacon on the ice cream, that's great. The AI has decided you aren't eating enough. We're adding $300 worth of chicken McNuggets to your order. Although that would be the fun thing, would be to drive up to one of the AI order takers and phrase things in a weird way and see how it handles it. It's like, I want $20 of chicken McNuggets and a large Diet Coke. See what it does.
I want a liter cola.
Get out of my head, Madman.
Do we have liter cola?
What a pop.
Yeah, but then you don't get to see Farva beating the shit out of you know, just a computer. So, I mean.
Can I get some scrambled chicken embryos?
Yeah, but Madman, your trick of examining the menu to figure out what you can order that comes out to 666, well, with inflation, that's hard anyways these days, but I don't think the AI is going to care.
Oh, it won't. I will never get a senior discount again until I'm a senior. Or a military discount. Oh, I love that.
Sad part is, Madman, you're probably closer to getting that discount just for age than having to come up with math combinations now.
Possibly.
You know what one of my coworkers said to me the other day?
What?
So I got a, you know, award for how long I'd been at the company, right? And said, wow, yeah. I was 13 when you started. It's like, fuck you.
That's all right. My wife's met university graduates that she taught.
Yeah. All right. You guys want to talk about these astronauts?
Yeah. Let's talk about Boeing.
Oh, that's what it's really about, isn't it?
That's what it's really about, man.
Well, they haven't shipped. They haven't had an order for 737 in like 2 months.
Yep.
They're hurting.
They're doing a Disney.
This is from theindependent.co.uk, and I believe RU sent me this one as well. Astronauts stuck in space at least another week as Boeing and NASA troubleshoot Starliner spacecraft issues. Two astronauts will be stuck on the International Space Station for at least another week as experts at NASA and Boeing struggle to fix their spacecraft. I mean, that sounds funny, but that can actually be a real issue when people are in space too long. Don't they have like real problems develop, like muscle mass and strength and stuff?
Muscle degeneration, bone degeneration.
You got to be up there for over a year for it to really start doing anything. I think the bigger concern is food and water.
Yeah, that could be a real problem too.
Yeah, they've got an exercise regimen that's pretty good at keeping that on now. But yeah, every day you're in space, you're losing muscle mass and bone density.
I mean, I guess if they figure out they have to start rationing their supplies to make it, that could be a real problem. Might have to take the Bear Grylls approach.
Dude, what if it takes longer than a week to fix?
They may call up Elon and be like, so, is SpaceX rocket ready to go up to the station again?
Do the Russians still have their shuttle going? I could see that being an opening.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Russians are really interested in helping the Americans out right now. Yeah. A bit of a space problem. You know what I mean?
Hey, Vladimir.
Maybe that whole proxy war thing's a little pissed off. But does Elon's shit even have the right docking equipment to the International Space Station?
They could probably adapt something, but I don't know.
They possibly could, but I'm just saying it. Every day that those guys are stuck up there, you know, and this is hot on the heels after the submarine fucking went squish. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
The further we advance with technology, the worse we're getting at it.
I don't think it's that we're getting worse at it. It's that I think a lot of the people who were doing the work and inventing it are now retiring, and the people who are taking their place were participant trophy recipients.
Well, the way I sort of put it a couple days back when we were talking about it, those guys invented it, we hacked it, the people coming after us explored it, and these ones are just going, fix it, fix it, fix it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we were in between analog and digital. So we had to play with both. We're the next generation, and MySpace did more for female coders than any fucking program they could put in place today. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I got you.
Because you actually had to learn how to do a bit of coding to make your own MySpace page. Like, yeah, you could just have to click and fucking play stuff. But if you wanted to pop and stand out, you had to actually do shit. It made people curious.
SpaceX has delivered cargo to the space station, so they can dock with it.
Okay, cool.
May 12th, 2012, SpaceX did a cargo delivery.
Yeah, you just hope it doesn't turn into a Donner Party situation up there.
Yes. But that's pretty much it. Everyone now is like, fix it, fix it, fix it, because they've got no idea how the analog world works and the digital world.
Well, it's like last week when we were talking about the Voyager probe, and it's just like, you know, you got to imagine. Did we talk about that on the show, or is that just in regular?
No, I think it was just some regular conversation. Okay,
so yeah. Of course, they got the Voyager probe back up and going, and we were talking about, man, they must have some real gray hairs up there who are still working on these systems from the 70s and able to get them going again over remote radio link, where it takes days of delay for it to even get the signal.
And process timing on that is essential for power allocation.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain orders everything has to be done in, or there's not enough electricity to run the spacecraft.
I imagine they have several replicas of it that they use on the ground for testing their code before they send anything up to the real one. But
oh, no doubt, man.
You got to.
And you'd have to. I mean, that's a lot of the NASA cost built in, was having to build multiple fucking pieces. One to stay on Earth and one to go out.
So let's do the article here. Two astronauts will be stuck on the International Space Station for at least another week as experts at NASA and Boeing struggle to fix their spacecraft. Astronauts Suni Williams and Botch Wilmore arrived on the ISS on June 6th after a successful Boeing Starliner launch. Expected only to stay a week, the two will not be arriving on Earth before June 26th, NASA and Boeing officials said in a Tuesday press conference. The Boeing Starliner is facing several mechanical problems en route to the station. The crew reported problems with 5 thrusters and 4 helium leaks. Good God. Like,
that's not a problem. That's a lot of problems.
Yeah. A 5th helium leak has since cropped up. Crews are working to make sure it is safe before the astronauts are put back on and return home. This delay comes after NASA and Boeing crews announced June 22nd as their return date. Quote, we want to give our teams a little bit more time to look at the data, do some analysis, and make sure they're ready to come home. Unquote. Steve Stitch, NASA Commercial Crew Program Manager, said on Tuesday. Stitch said they do not see a scenario, quote, where Starliner is not going to be able to bring Booch and Suni home. Unquote. Crews will attempt to land in the White Sands area of New Mexico next week. If the crew cannot make the June 26 landing, the next, quote, prime opportunity will be on July 2nd. Dana Weigel, manager of NASA's International Space Station program, said the crew is feeling positive. Quote, they love Starliner. They love being in the vehicle. They love being on ISS. Unquote, Weigel said on Tuesday, quote, I think, you know, if you ask Butch and Suni, they might want to stay for a prolonged period of time, unquote. Yeah, I love it when people speaking out, you know, for somebody say, oh, no, they love it. It's all great. You know, don't actually get on the radio and talk to them.
Well, I already know why they can say this. They're thinking there's that many malfunctions from the trip up. I don't want to risk crashing on the way down.
Yeah, really?
I will wait until the cosmonauts show up. And then I'm going to stow away on the tried and true Russian shuttle. And hopefully there's an administration in power willing to negotiate my freedom when I land in Moscow safely.
Yeah, I heard the ISS going over last night. And it was just a stream of fuck, 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 fuck.
Oh, that's actually something I haven't done in a while. You actually can. They've got several frequencies going. If you've got the right gear, you can totally listen to the ISS radio when it goes over.
Don't dunk on the poor astronauts.
So, I mean, I've done it. That's how I know the Earth's not flat. I listened to the ISS go overhead. It lined up with the Yagi antenna as I was pointing it at the sky, and it went past the horizon. So,
we'll talk after the show, Morps. I can tell you how that works.
I wasn't pointing it at the moon.
I'm fucking around.
I know. I'm having fun, though.
But, so, yeah, dude, like... Yeah, so I'm speaking on their behalf. No, I'm going to wait for them to get back to Earth and just go, how was it? You'll see.
They get the 1,000 yards... Corporate,
yeah, it doesn't matter how much corporate speak they've got. I'll know, because they'll have the vision of somebody who's come back from Afghanistan who was sitting next to someone when the IED went off.
Yeah, they've got the 1,000-yard stare going, it's great, it's fine, yeah.
Fantastic, loved it.
It was fine. The space lotto was wonderful.
Yeah, hey, is there something red on my chest? I'm just asking for, you know, personal reasons.
Oh, no, my thumbs are meant to be upright. Yes, it was great.
We had to use Dawn as a sealant.
That poor girl.
Well, didn't some crazy bitch drill a hole in the side of one compartment?
I don't remember.
Crazy story.
Because that causes decompression, I believe.
Mark Nappy, Vice President and Program Manager for the Commercial Crew Program at Boeing, said the crew is taking advantage of the extra time. Quote, I don't think a lot of us look at this as a delay, unquote. Nappy said, quote, we look at it as an opportunity, in this case, the privilege to stay on the station and do more work, unquote. Boeing CST-100 Starliner, with Williams and Wilmore on board, lifted off from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station in Florida on June 5th. After a 24-hour flight, this successfully docked on the ISS. Good God, I didn't realize it took 24 hours to get into orbit. Um, Boeing hopes Starliner will complete the SpaceX Dragon crew or compete well with SpaceX's Dragon crew capsule, which has been NASA's only vehicles for sending ISS crew members to orbit with from the U.S. since 2020. The mission follows years of other challenges Boeing has faced with Starliner. In 2019, an unmanned craft saw a test failure with dozens of software glitches, design problems, and management issues. 3 years later, a repeat unmanned test successfully landed on the ISS. So, oh, already found the article about somebody drilling a hole in the side of the thing. In 2021, Russia completed an investigation to a hole discovered in a Soyuz spacecraft while docked at the ISS. They're saying somebody drilled a hole in it. Wow.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story off air.
Okay.
Because it's two countries with two different ideas on what happened.
Yeah, somebody's going to say micrometeor. Somebody else is going to say astronaut with a hole, with a drill.
Yeah, I've seen the picture of the... There's tool marks.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, they're not... They're NASA's part of Space Force now, isn't it? So...
I don't keep up on it.
So, anyways...
I mean, this is an absolute fuck-up on Boeing's behalf, because this was meant to be a big brand recognition, see?
Yeah, they're now hurting, too. Now
clusterfuck. Well, you think, look at their commercial airliners, you know, has one fallen out of the sky today? I haven't checked the news lately.
It's raining men. Oh, God.
And women. And luggage. Oh, my shit.
All right. They're all wearing Boeing uniforms.
Well, that's about it, isn't it?
That's about it. Let's do the last story and then... RU sent me this one as well, CNBC. New AI deep fake porn bill would remove big tech or require big tech to police and remove images. So I don't even want to read the whole thing because it's not that long, but they've got the key points here. Quote, a new bill in Congress seeks to hold social media platforms accountable for the publishing and distribution of non-consensual AI images containing real faces, fake bodies. Now, here's the part I'm curious about. Deep fake porn production increased 464% in 2023 over the prior year, and then two dueling bills in the Senate could compete for a legislation process. So they've got a bill in this. They got a couple of bills in the Senate they're working on to try to basically say Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. If somebody posts deepfake porn, you have to pull it down. Which I don't know that needs to be a law, but it's probably in good taste. It's like, you know, it's really deepfake porn of somebody, and they don't want porn of themselves out there to. You know, have the platforms pull that down is probably fair. Who's doing the math that they figure out how much deepfake porn is out there to say that it increased 464%?
I don't know. As you said, it sounds like they pulled it out their ass.
I mean, seriously, how are they getting that number?
That thing, 87% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
There you go, man.
I could be wrong.
I mean, I'm just thinking, do you have some poor asshole in this in the FBI monitoring 4chan and counting?
Well, I'd have to say it's a lot higher than that, especially if you're talking about the Nancy Pelosi deepfakes.
I mean, Taylor Swift alone.
And the Taylor Swift with horses, that was so sad. Four horses.
Oh, what's funny is I didn't even read the article when you sent it to me, are you? I've scrolled down. Yeah, they mentioned Taylor Swift in it, dueling Senate bills. We're not going to read the whole article. We don't have time.
Yeah.
And it's not anything that it's probably not going to pass. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's nothing to worry about. It's just something to crap on about.
I mean, in general, the idea that, hey, if somebody's posted deep fake porn of somebody asking the social media companies to pull it down. Yeah, they probably should pull it down just on kind of a generalized idea. But when you start getting into laws, you get into the nitpicks of how it's written. You know, it's not intent, it's wording, and ugh. So you know what I mean.
Yep.
Presumably, a spider and neural networks could probably tabulate this data more easily than we might imagine. I don't know, Psychros. You're assuming that they know all places that deepfake porn is posted. So, I mean, obviously it's not going to be all of it because that's just how the internet works, but I want to know who, how are you coming up with this number? That's what I want. Because you've put a number on it. Somebody's done math somewhere. Okay. In 2023, producers of deepfake porn increased their output by 464% year over year, according to a report from Home Security Heroes. Who are Home Security Heroes? Home Security Heroes State of Deepfakes Appendix. So they've got the number out there. Home Security Heroes, keeping you and your family and assets safe online. MarketWatch, AOL, blah, 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 blah. Fuck. Okay. It's one of these stupid marketing websites. What do you do? What do you fucking do?
They don't do anything. The zombie corporation.
Password checker about our testing process, our YouTube channel. Best practices, ID theft services. That's what they are. They're an ID theft services company. Okay. The Psychros is trying to work out in the IRC how to do the math based on Google and using a neural network to. It's like, come on, dude.
You're going to have to train the neural network on what is porn.
Psychros is trying to come up with a realistic answer. We all know it's not a real answer. That's why I'm asking the question. It's a number some think tank group has just made up. I appreciate the effort in you trying to work out how to solve the problem, though. But anyways, that's all I got. Listen to the stream. We're always working up. Peer Decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site. The BBS. Which I did actually look at before we did the show tonight because I was hurting for links and Psychros had sent me a bunch of stuff, but it was all, from weeks where I forgot to check it. So anyways, in the IRC tonight, Alhazard, Psychros, Madman, myself, Sardonyx, and she. Madman, closing thoughts.
Hawaiian pizza was invented in Canada.
Bastards.
Why the hell do they call it Hawaiian pizza?
Fun fact, fun trivia, I guess. Do you have one of those trivia day calendars or something? Is that where this is coming from?
Oh, no. When I was pulling up the IRC, I get a bunch of random news feeds on my start page. And one of them is, I do look up enough random facts that I get random shit just thrown in. Did you know? And it was in the 1960s, if anyone else is caring, when Hawaiian pizza was invented. But it seems to have divided the world between those who think pineapple's a pizza topping and those who are wrong.
Did you know John Kerry once shot a man just to watch him die? No, wait, what? Sorry, that's an inside joke that only Madman will get. Pineapple can go fine on bad pizza, but not on good pizza. All right, Madman. You're in the IRC. Go defend yourself. Are you closing thoughts?
Just used to eating awful pizza.
Well, considering Donald Sutherland died today, go watch the original MASH movie.
But suicide is painless, and it brings on many changes. You can make those changes if you please. That's a depressing theme song.
It's a depressing fucking show, Madman. And the original movie is very leftist.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm still going to go funny.
Still a good movie, though.
All right, here we go.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional...
Zombie apocalypse.
Your satisfaction is very important to us.
God hates Australia.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
Security, she's got a break.